wise people tell me not to believe everything that I read on the internet. Almost a dozen years ago, Google began efforts to bring wireless broadband internet service to the US. Initially, they worked with one or two cities, but had hopes to expand to the rest of the country. So one morning, I opened my internet browser to search for something and stumbled onto a news announcement from Google. "Coming soon," the announcement read. "Google will be launching TISP, T-I-S-P, short for Toilet Internet Service Provider." It was described as a self-installed, ad-supported online service that would be offered entirely free to any consumer with a Wi-Fi capable PC and a toilet connected to a local municipal sewage system. To use the service, all you had to do was flush a fiber optic cable down the toilet and connect the other end to a specially provided router. I sat in front of my computer marveling at both the idiocy and the ingenuity that it would take to run broadband internet through the sewer system. I then tried to figure out how it would work. Don't spend too much time thinking about that. I kept mulling it over in my mind long after I got up from my computer, wondering what in the world these people at Google were doing, until I looked at my watch. And I noticed that the date was April 1st, April Fool's Day. Wise people tell me not to believe everything that I read on the internet. Even wiser people remind me that I should not believe anything that I read on the internet on April Fool's Day. In fact, that was the last year that I did. So if you have any real announcements to make, if it's something about the cool thing that your company is doing, or a pregnancy, or a new job, don't make them today. People won't believe you, or at least I won't. Once the clock reads 12 o'clock, my lens begins to shift. I go from incredibly optimistic about everything on March 31st to increasingly cynical on April 1st. Modifying my expectations about what is true. Which seems similar to me in some ways to the way that Mary Magdalene and the two disciples viewed the world that first Easter morning. Where they had once been optimistic and hopeful that Jesus would change things, that they would no longer be subject to the tyranny of the Roman emperor after Jesus was done, his death on the cross shifted their lens. Nailing their hopes to the cross with him. So when Mary Magdalene approached Jesus' tomb early that morning, while it was still dark, expecting the tomb to be sealed and Jesus' body to be laying there behind the stone, it makes sense that she would presume the worst when she found the tomb empty. Somebody came and took his body away. It makes sense that that is her conclusion. Because what we know shapes the way that we see the world. It colors our view of what is happening. For Mary and the disciples, death was a very real and perhaps the most powerful force in the world. Jesus had already been dead for 3 days, and nobody had ever come back from that. Mary never expected to find anything other than a closed tomb that morning, and instead assumed that somebody had been there tampering with it. The same expectations emerged for Peter and the beloved disciple after they approached the tomb. They, or really maybe nobody, expected anything other from Jesus. He was dead, gone. There's no way that he would have just gotten up and wandered off. Their hopes and dreams of what could have been died with Jesus. Setting their expectations lower than they had been in quite a while. Some 2,000 years later, I wonder if our expectations have shifted very much. Death is still a very real and powerful present force in our lives. For some of us, maybe the most powerful force. Most of us are intimately aware of the sway that death has, having stripped away from us those that we hold dear. Particularly lately, we have observed the hold that death has on the lives of countless students, teachers, and parents. as they wonder if each day they go to school will be their last. And we must acknowledge that for some it has been, as death has walked the hallways of schools around our country for decades, at Columbine and Virginia Tech, at Sandy Hook, Great Mills, and Parkland. Death holds court in the lives of those who are afraid the government will take away all their guns, fearful of having to confront death without a means by which to defend themselves. For those who live in the violent urban centers of DC and Baltimore or Chicago and Los Angeles, death lurks around the corner as they travel from home to school or to work or even just the grocery store. Death and all the tools that he employs, guns and knives, cancer, ALS, and heart attacks, are always close at hand. They surround us. Occasionally, it's all that we can see. And when that's the case, it shifts our expectations about the world and how we respond. This morning, maybe, we come to the tomb like Mary and the two disciples who came early. We expect to find Jesus dead and in the tomb, and upon hearing again that the stone has been moved and the tomb is empty, we shift our narrative to one that more closely resembles where Mary was at to begin with. This simply cannot be. It's an impossible story that we tell ourselves. But what if we are blind to what is real? What if the joke's on us? Mary and the disciples' worldview made them blind to the reality of the empty tomb. It also made them blind to their memories of what Jesus had already done, healing people who would not otherwise have been healed, making those who are blind able to see again, even raising Lazarus well after his soul had departed his body. Remember that part about 3 days, no one had come back from that? Sorry, that was wrong. Lazarus did. Perhaps they should have expected more out of Jesus, but their expectations shielded them from this new reality, from creation's new reality. That is until Jesus says Mary's name. Because Jesus does not leave us alone in our expectations. He pushes them outside the box that they're bounded in, forcing us to expand into uncharted territory. He changes the way that we see everything. He turns everything upside down. He makes the impossible possible. And starting today on Easter, Jesus shows us that there is fullness in what is empty. That where we experience sorrow and heartbreak, there's often also great joy, or at the very least, great hope. There's a certain fullness to pain and suffering because there's a God who has already gone into it, all the way into death, and will go into it again with us, emerging on the other side new and whole. Everything is different now that Jesus has risen from the dead. Where death once had the final word, God has said no, and instead has given life that power. Life that exceeds our expectations, showing us that there is great beauty in our flaws, that a broken humanity is more whole than a perfect humanity ever could be. That we don't need to be perfect to be loved, that our wounds have the power to heal ourselves and others. With an empty tomb, there is power in vulnerability and strength in weakness. It's time to see that God has changed the rules of the game and that we need to change our expectations too. It also makes me wonder what it would look like for us to live as if the greatest April Fool's Day joke were real. If we had the courage to face death, to stand eye to eye, toe to toe, and say we are not afraid, to choose love when our fear would say otherwise. Because Jesus can be raised from the dead and roll away a heavy stone for the world to see that anything is possible for us and the rest of the world, then that changes literally everything.